Well, have you ever tried and failed to take a nice clear photo from a moving vehicle? If you had, then listen up because this story will blow your mind. Imagine instead of a camera, you've got a telescope, and instead of a car, you're on a 747. That's the situation on board NASA's Airborne Observatory, a modified jet plane which makes unique observations from above the clouds. ABC science editor Jonathan Webb boarded that big jet plane for a special science series called The Chase, which is going to air right now on RM. We've played you some of the promos. Jonathan, welcome back to breakfast.
Hi, friend.
Glad you made it safely. I was worried about you. One of the promos said, and they're opening the doors, and I could just imagine you falling out. Jonathan, what is the point of all of this, putting a telescope on a plane instead of just on the ground or on the top of a mountain?
Well, might you ask, Fran, and it's a fair question because it's not cheap. This instrument, this aircraft, is known as SOFIA, the Stratospheric Observatory for Infrared Astronomy, and it cost more than $1 billion to develop. They brought...
A billion?
Yeah, more than a billion. They brought an old 747 from the 70s out of retirement. They gutted it. They redesigned it so it could have a hatch open to expose a telescope at altitude. And then this German-built telescope is just a remarkable instrument which manages to do steady, stable, accurate astronomy from the deck of a moving aeroplane. And as to exactly why, I put that question to someone involved. This is a little extract from the program, which is already up on the ABC Listen app, and you're hearing from the mission director on board SOFIA, Karina Lepic.
We have a telescope on a plane so that we can get above the water vapor in the atmosphere and observe light that doesn't otherwise make it to telescopes that are on the ground. One of the other wonderful things about SOFIA is that it's on an airplane, so we can take it places and get to events that otherwise there is no telescope to get to. And that's what we're doing tonight.
So there's a couple of advantages, which Karina explained. And the background noise that you heard there is because I did that interview on board the plane back in July.
I would expect nothing less. The mission you joined was to observe an occultation. What's that?
It's basically an eclipse. If you imagine the way things line up in space, so we're on our little, spinning wet rock, right? And halfway across the solar system, there was a moon that they wanted to study. It's Titan, one of Saturn's moons. It's a very big one. It's Saturn's biggest moon. It's bigger than ours by quite some margin. But then way out further in space, light years away, there is a star. And there's not a lot we can do to study Titan. We've sent a probe down to the surface before. The Cassini spacecraft went past and took pictures. So we've learned a lot about it. But now that craft is gone, how else do you learn about Titan other than just taking pictures from, ground-based telescopes? They're not very good pictures. So you take advantage of the fact that this star way out in space is going to line up with Titan and the Earth. And if you do all your maths right and you get to the right part of the planet to basically get into the shadow that the star casts onto the Earth when Titan comes in between the two, right? So it's sort of an eclipse, but the distant object is much smaller. That's all that an occultation means. Then if you're in exactly the right place at the right time, the star comes directly behind that faraway moon, and all of the starlight actually bends around the edges of the moon, and it comes through the atmosphere. And if you can collect that light with a good telescope, then you can learn about the atmosphere, what sort of temperatures it is it's at, what's happening to the pressure. So that's what they were trying to do.
Okay, and to get there, of course, with that precision timing, nothing better than a jet plane. Did it work? What did the scientists find out about time?
Well, yeah, a slight spoiler alert, if people do want to listen to the program and have the story unfold as they hear it, they did get there. They managed to get not only into the shadow of the moon, but right into the middle, and they got what's called a central flash, which means they got that increase in light as they got right into the middle of the shadow, and all of the starlight was coming through Titan's atmosphere and into the telescope. And I actually spoke to the astronomer who was on board the flight, Dr. Michael Person from MIT in the US. I spoke to him just this week to get an update on exactly what they'd been managing to learn from those data. And important to know here, they were trying to compare this measurement of what's going on with Titan's atmosphere to previous ones. So the last time they got to do this type of occultation, was way back in 2003. So they're quite rare opportunities. They also had some measurements from the lander, from the Cassini trip, and there were differences there, and they were trying to explain them.
The main things we see changing are the global pressure, which seems to be going up and down. Each different observation is giving us different measurements. And also the asymmetry of the atmosphere. There's a very strong dynamic wind structure moving around in the atmosphere. And that is the thing that seems to change most. The current event is showing much more asymmetry, you know, a much higher bulge than the previous ones did.
So it's windier.
Yes. The global jet stream, if you will, has gotten much stronger in the last few years.
So that's Dr. Michael Person. This plane, Sophia, is mostly run by NASA, Jonathan, which is, of course, a US government agency. What happened to NASA and to Sophia during the recent shutdown? Did that... Was it implicated?
It was affected. Yeah, a lot of the staff at NASA were furloughed, and that included the people who were involved in the Sophia mission. They kept just enough people on to keep the systems ticking over so that it could be started up again. But again, when I spoke to Michael, he said he is back in contact with the staff. They're back at work, and they're hoping to get things back up and running soon. But they did. It was grounded during the shutdown, and they did miss out on some science flights. So some people didn't manage to get that precious flight and get those observations.
Okay, and the Chase is available now.
It is. It's on the ABC Listen app and up on the news website now. There's a feature with lots of pictures and videos, so you can really get a sense of what it's like to ride this flying telescope.
Riding the jet plane. Jonathan, thank you very much.
A pleasure,
Dr. Jonathan Webb, the ABC science editor, our regular science guru, and the latest episode of The Chase 2 you can hear on your radios at 1 p.m. on Sunday here on RN. But visit the website. There's an article from Jonathan there, as you said, with lots of pictures and videos to bring it all alive, the flying telescope. It's 8:45 on Breakfast.